This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to talk to you. Go with me to Romans 1 and 17. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes just from the subject of walking in great expectation. Walking in great expectation. And this is simply a faith refresher, but how many know we need faith refreshers? Expectation is breeding ground for miracles. Everybody repeat after me. What I expect, I will experience. All right, so what you expect, you will experience. It's kind of that's kind of how faith works, all right? And so Romans 1 and 17, they'll put it up on the screen. There it is. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live how, class? So the Bible teaches us that the just, those that are declared right because of the blood of Jesus, those of us that have invited Jesus into our life and received the finished work, it says that we live by faith. So we don't live by a paycheck. We don't live based on who's in office. No, we live by faith. All right. That word that says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. All right. The righteousness of God. And so the Bible says, teaches us that word righteousness in the Greek is dikaiosune. It has to do with integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness or correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. So this really deals with the nature of God, who he is, and how he feels about you. So the Bible says that the righteousness of God, or who God is, and how he feels about you, is revealed. That word revealed just means seen, shown, or understood. So the Bible says who God is seen, shown, or understood as I go from one level of faith to the next level of faith. Let me explain that to you. I'm leaving y'all. Oh, Lord. All right. And so I didn't tell them I was going down here. So what happens is you come to an amazing church like WLCC, right? And you start learning the word of God, right? And you begin to learn what is possible for your life. When you first got here, and I'm not knocking anywhere you come from. I ain't that kind of preacher. One thing you know about me is I don't knock nobody. You ain't never heard me knock anything. What I do, when I get here, I'm going to teach you the word of faith so you can live a better life. Right? So, but what happens is maybe where you just never learned faith. You didn't know it was God's will for you to live a good life. Maybe people knocked it and said, you're not supposed to be. But you start learning, no, the just, we live by faith. And if I live by faith, not just my money can get better, but my marriage can get better. My children can get better. Right? And then what happens, you get an expectation and you start seeing a few things happen in your life and you go up a little bit in faith. When you get up a little bit in faith, you realize even though you came up a little bit, right here is better than down there. And so now you have seen and understood God in another way. And as you begin to learn faith more, you say, man, my man of God says death and life is in the power of the tongue. I'm going to start confessing the word of God. Matter of fact, I'm declaring a raise on my job. I don't have to leave a job and go to another job. This environment can change right here. This money can change right here. And all of a sudden God does it and you go up to another level of faith. Because the righteousness of God, who God is seen, shown, or understood as I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith. And then you start believing for, man, when I get paid, I don't want to just, have $15, $20 left over. I want to have thousands of dollars left over. And God starts working that thing out for you. After the first come, you pay all the bills. You look at the savings. You say, look what the Lord has done. And then you come here, right? What did you do? I just went to another level of faith because the righteousness of God, who God is and how he feels about me is seen, shown, and understood as I move from one level of faith to the next level of faith. Y'all get that? See, faith is a two-sided coin. You have acting on one side, you have believing on the other, and believing is key. Everybody say believing is key. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All right. Now, my veterans in the house know this scripture because we started on this when we first started our ministry, right? But those of you all that are newer to the ministry, I have to make sure I teach you like I taught them so we can all get to the same place, right? And so you have to understand that this scripture teaches me that possibilities for me are not defined in terms of human logic or intellectual reasoning. I don't have to try to figure it out, okay? Possibilities for me are defined by how I can believe. So if I can believe for my healing, you got it, it's now possible for me. If I can believe that I can get to the next level, it's possible for me. If I can believe that my marriage can get better and better, it is possible for me. Doesn't matter what anybody else believes. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, because Mark 9:23 says that all things are possible if I believe. Does that make sense? And so you have to understand the importance of believing, but the importance of believing God's way. See, you got saved believing God's way, all right? Romans 10:9, very familiar passage of scripture. It teaches us that if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised it from the dead, what's going to happen? You shall be saved, right? And so now, you, whether you realize it or not, you already know how to believe God's way, all right? All right, by a show of hands, how many of you believe in God? How many with your physical eyes ever seen him put your hands down? Praise the Lord, all right? I got to help y'all, right? All right, how many in the room believe in heaven? How many with your physical body ever been there? Put your hands down, praise the Lord, all right? How many believe because you are saved that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many seen the book? You know what you just told me? You told me that you put your trust in a God that you've never seen to take you to a place you've never been, and because you've accepted Jesus, you believe your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It shows you already know how to believe God's way. Because once you're saved, watch this, can't anybody take that away from you? Right? And so the way you believe that, like, heaven belongs to me, that I'm not going nowhere today because it's going to satisfy me with long life, but after I live a long, good, old, prosperous, healthy, joyful, rich life, I'm going to close my eyes here on this earth. I'm going to open my eyes in heaven. Just how you believe for that way is the same way you have to believe for your children and your grandchildren and your marriage and your finances and everything to go to the next level. So it shows you know how to believe God's way. Biblical believing is not mental assent to sense realm possibilities. We call that reasoning on tiptoes, all right? But biblical believing is the ability to accept God's word as fact, even though I don't have any sense realm evidence, right? It is having a confident assurance without intimidation from the sense realm. And so, no, watch it. The promotion hadn't showed up yet, but I believe God. The pain is still there, but I already know Jesus bore my sickness and disease on a tree, and by his stripes, I'm already healed. So I'm not moved by what I see or by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the word of God. And if the word says he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, I believe it. If the word says he's Jehovah Nisi, my banner of victory, I believe it. If the Bible says that he's Jehovah Shalom, my God of peace, I believe it. If the Bible says he's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, I believe it. If the Bible says that he's Jehovah Sikkenu, my righteousness, I receive it. If he says he's Jehovah Makadesh, my sanctifier, I receive it. If he says he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is forever present with me, I receive it. If he says that he's Jehovah Ra, and he is my shepherd, and I shall not want, then I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of God in my life. So I'm going to stand on the word regardless of what it looks like. I'm going to stand on the word regardless of what I feel, because my feelings have nothing to do with my faith. My feelings have nothing to do with the word of God. And I'm not knocking that, and don't take it the wrong way. But if you're not careful and you live by feelings, someday you can be up here and someday you can be down there in the natural. Let's just be honest. But if I learn to allow my feelings to take a back seat and cause my faith to take a front seat, I'll always see God's goodness in my life. Does that make sense? Give the Lord a good hand praise. So the key is to totally, see, the key to living by faith is totally trusting God's word over anything else and making it the final authority in your life, all right? As you move into 2024, right, first thing, number one, God's got to be at the top of your list. There's righteous expectation compared to unrighteous expectation. Now, I'm the type of guy, I want you to love me, so I hope you, that as your pastor, you love me. But can I just tell you some truthful things too? See, it is an unrighteous expectation to believe that God is going to do all these amazing things in my life. You got it? And I got him number 10. You got it? Well, Pastor, what if we pull it up to number 4? I don't care if you pull it up to number 2. You got it? You got it? God wants to be number 1 in our lives, and to the degree that we allow him to be number 1 in our lives, he'll do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so here's the part. I'm going to just look right at my iPad because, you know, I don't know your situation no ways. But here's the point where I have to today make it up in my mind that I'm going to put God at the top of my list, and I'm going to quit making excuses of why I haven't. I'm going to take all my excuses. I'm going to throw them out the window. I'm going to stand still, walk in integrity, and say, God, as of today, I trust you. As of today, I'm putting you at the top of my list. As of today, I'm going to go into the house of the Lord and worship. As of today, I'm returning the tithe unto you. As of today, I'm getting back the holiness. As of today, I'm going to do things your way so I can get your results in my life. Today, I'm going to do it God's way. Everybody say, no more excuses. And how many know it's easy to make excuses? I'm not knocking on you. We all make excuses. You got it? We all make excuses. You got it? You know, but when it comes to spiritual things, I don't make excuses. Now, sometimes I do make excuses why I shouldn't go to the gym. And guess what? It's still an excuse. It ain't good. You got it. I might tell later, yeah, babe, you know, I'm not going to go today because, you know, I just need me some rest. And she's so sweet. She said, okay. Still an excuse. And, you know, an excuse is really a crutch for the uncommitted. And that's why you don't want to live your life by excuses. You got it? And so the reason you love this church, the reason that you come to this church, you got it, is because you don't have to wonder if I have a man and woman of God who are living holy or who walk in integrity or who know the word. You know these things, and that's why you come. But if pastor was here up here and I was getting all excited, and next thing you know, I was cussing. Oh, excuse me. Oh, no, that's in you, Doc. Come on, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, all right, some of y'all ain't ready for that. Praise the Lord. So to the degree that you will fully commit yourself to God, totally trust God's word over anything else, and make it the final authority in your life, you'll see God do amazing things. See, the church shouldn't just be packed on Christmas. It shouldn't just be packed on New Year's. The church should be packed every single Sunday. Why is it that we can go to Walmart every Sunday and it's all kind of people at Walmart, but when you come to a lot of churches, there's not a lot going on? You got it? Yeah. Oh, well, the preacher, this excuses. Well, I don't like that person because they got issues. We all got issues. People at the club got issues, but that don't stop some of y'all from going. See, I'm all in your Kool-Aid, and I do know the flavor. But I be's a real man of God who's going to stand up here flat-footed and teach you the word of God, because I got to stand and be accountable to God one day. And when I do, I'm going to say, Lord, I lived holy, and I told him to live holy. I gave, and I told him to give. You got it? And watch this. And if you will just follow my example, is that scriptural? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You got it. You don't need to be all, you don't need the Instagram prophet. You got a man of God right here. You don't need a TV sensation. You got a man and woman of God right here that we will teach you the word of God. And if you'll just listen to what we're teaching you, it'll absolutely change your life. Oh, man. All right. Look at your neighbor. Say, that young man, he teaching today. He teaching today. See, the enemy wants to, watch this. The enemy wants you to focus on stuff that didn't happen. He wants you to focus on stuff that went wrong. You understand? But your job is to stay totally focused on what the word of God says, regardless of what's going on around you. You got it? Because even in the video, they said that on 2023, you got it. Some of us have had some tough seasons, but truth be told, our good days have outweighed all of our bad days. Why? Because we serve a faithful God, right? So you got to forget the past, you got to let it go, and you got to move forward. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I'm reading from the NLT, I have not achieved. He said, I haven't made it. He says, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past. Forgetting the what? And looking forward to what? What lies ahead. He says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. And so you got to forget what's in the past. Is in the past. You got it? You got to forgive somebody who did you wrong. You got it? See, unforgiveness is somebody said, is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. It don't work like that. See, when you walk in unforgiveness, you are messing your heart up, which ultimately is messing your life up. So you could cuss me out at 9:59 and at 10 a.m., I forgive you. Why? Because what God has for me and you is so great that, watch it, and there's so much at stake, we can't get caught up in silly things. Does that make sense? Amen. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things. He says, do not dwell on the past. Do not what? What's that mean? Do not dwell on the past, right? He says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it's springing up in you. He said, don't you perceive it? Don't you understand what I'm doing in your life? Don't you know there's a reason why you're coming to Without Limits Christian Center? Don't you know there's a reason I connected you to a family of faith? Don't you know there's a reason that you're learning the word of faith? Even if someone had to drag you to get here, hopefully next week you'll say, I'm going on my own. Because watch this, when I stop making excuses, I'll stop living a mediocre life. That's the bottom line. He says, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in wastelands. And too many times we think of it this way. I can't wait to get out of this tough season. I can't wait to get out of this wilderness so on the other side I can see God's goodness. He said, right where you are, I'll make a way. Right where you are, I'll open the door. Right where you are, I'll cause favor to shine on your path. Right where you are, I'll heal you. I'll deliver you. I'll set you free. Right where you are, but you got to give me your heart. And to the degree that you give me your heart, he says, I'll take care of everything else. And you got to ask yourself the question, am I really giving God my heart? You got it. Brothers, husbands, we got to ask God, are we giving God our heart? Are we leading our families to church, or are they making us come? When we go down and we sit at the table for breakfast, or even running through the, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or wherever you go, before everybody starts just eating, you say, oh, hold on, y'all, we got to pray. Father, we thank you for this food that we're about to receive. What are you doing? I'm setting the example because, you know, I am the man of God of WLCC, but husband, you are the man of God of your house. Does that make sense? And it is your job to, watch this, to protect that house, to live for God. Watch this now. So you can have the faith to provide and give them everything you need, everything they need. So you got to ask yourself, or do I just want to be cool? I'm be cool, Daddy. What's up, brother? What's up, brother? Yeah. Flip it up so everybody can see my belt so they know what I got on. Nobody don't care about that. Your wife certainly don't care about that. See, what my wife want to know is he praying for us? Come on, somebody. When he's away from all of us, is he still living the right kind of life? Come on, somebody. Is he covering our family? Is he being a good example to Jay and a good example to Hannah? You understand what I'm saying? Like wives don't care about all that stuff. Okay, praise the Lord. I don't know why the Lord got me going that way. I'm just trying to hurry up and get through my lesson. But maybe if we'll leave this culture alone and quit trying to be so cool and just start being a man of God, you will see God do some amazing things in your life. You know, truth be told, can I be honest with you? I know, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know all the hip stuff, and, you know, I don't know. I'm a church boy. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And I like being a church boy, and I'm going to keep being a church boy. And a lot of stuff I don't know, I don't want to know. And I know sometimes people go, he pastor just goofy. Yeah, but he's saved. He's been married 25 years with an amazing marriage. He lives holy. He ain't just saying it on stage. Come on, somebody. And watch this. And because of that, I see the favor of God on my life. So the favor of God is not on my life because I'm a preacher. The favor of God's on my life because I'm a man of God who does the right thing in my family's house. Does that make sense? So what happens is, oh my gosh, why am I going this way? So what happens is, because I have a relationship with God as a man, you got it? Watch this. My wife and my children get the overflow of my relationship with God. And it starts with them. But then it comes over to you. Does that make sense? All right. Now, let me talk to the ladies because I'm equal opportunity. Lady, she just got it going on because she got a good man. See, if my man would be like Pat, your husband ain't like me. And the Bible says, Paul says, when we compare to one another, we become unwise. So you shouldn't be looking for somebody to be like pastor. Come on, somebody. You, way by the water. See, what you don't see, you got it, and you might pick it up, but what you don't see, you got it, is lady is and y'all don't, some people don't like this word, submissive. But that's what the Bible teaches. So she looks at me, you got it, square in the eyes and say, okay, big daddy. I'm going to follow you as you follow Christ. Come on, somebody. Do that. She got all that nice stuff. I bet she always be bugging. She don't ever ask me for anything, actually. It's always been my chief joy, Doc, to at whatever level I was, do whatever I could for her. And when I was at a little level and I could just buy a gift for $100, she was thankful for the $100 gift. And then when I got to the next level and could buy her something for $400, she was just always thankful for the $400 gift. And mother, it was because of her gratitude, her never whining or complaining. I wish you would. So-and-so got a new car. Why didn't I get? She never did that. So because of her gratitude, I'm always like, how can I always do for her and do more for her and do more for her? And then what you don't see is her prayer time covering me in prayer. Making sure no demons try to come my way. Covering me. Hello, somebody. Because I'm covering the family. But she says, no, that's my man of God. I'm going to cover him in prayer. Devil, you can't have my husband. Come on, somebody. He going to serve you all the days of his life. Come on, somebody. He going to be a man of God. He going to be a good father to Jay and Hannah. He going to be faithful to me. And she has what she prays for. So now we see that it's not just one-sided. You got it. But it's the two of us coming together to make it happen in our lives. And watch this. And that's the reason the favor of God flows in our lives. So y'all know this, I mean, but I've never preached for money because I knew God was Jehovah Jireh. So I don't have to preach for money. I don't have to pay. I just did a deal and made $600,000. You understand what I'm saying? So watch this. How did that happen? Because Lady and I are one. And the Bible says when that happens, the favor of God will fall on your life. You got it? Because the Bible says, watch when you start separating that your prayers don't be hindered. So maybe if I'm always fussing and arguing, husband and wives, with each other, the favor ain't flowing. Maybe when I'm on my job and I'm looking at him or looking at her, you got it, having a desire for them with my desires to be to my wife or my desires to be for my, I don't know why in the world I'm going. I got a whole lesson, ask them in the back. But I believe it's time for the church to get right. I believe it's time for us to get back to holiness. I believe it's time for us to stand up and be the men and women of God that God has called us to be. I believe it's time for us to see God's glory in our lives like we've never seen before. So I'll be goofy. No problem me. One guy said, man, you so funny. I said, oh, is that right? I said, why am I funny? You always talk about, what's up, man? Don't bother me. Because every time I go home, I got a beautiful wife who loves me. You got it? I got an amazing father who gives me everything I need. So I'm not trying to get caught up. Y'all can tell Court and them just to come on. This is what the Lord wanted. So this is what y'all got. Praise the Lord. You got it? So what happens is I'm not caught up in the culture. Because the writer says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That you might prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so maybe, come here, baby. They coming? It's okay. What's up? Oh, come up here with me. Ain't no woman like the one I got. Ain't no woman like the one I got.
I'm gonna rest.
Well, what did you say?
I said no one can treat you better.
No one. Oh, I know that's right. Okay, so babe.
Yes.
How long we been married?
25 years and a few days.
Has there ever been anything that we've asked God for that he has not done?
Not one
in 25 years. Mm-hmm. Not one thing, I promise you. And we've asked God for some big stuff, y'all. Yeah. We've asked God for some really, whenever you're ready, maestro, you're good. When we've asked God for some really big stuff in our lives. It wasn't like we asked God for stuff that was just in reach.
Right.
And then, you know, we said, God, do it for us. And then we just reached it and got it. Right. We asked God for stuff that was 100 million miles away. But we knew that he was a big God that could do absolutely anything but fail. And so what we did was we said, man, we're going to stay together. We're not going to let anybody get between us. We're not going to do that. If we have a disagreement, she don't run to her mama and I don't run to mine. She don't run to her friend. I don't run to mine. We don't run to anybody. We stay together. We work it out together. Do y'all fight? Nope. Mm-mm. You know, y'all lying. No, we made a decision that doesn't solve anything. You got it. Do we disagree sometimes? Absolutely. We human like everybody else. But if we do, one thing we've learned to do is we both get quiet.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to open my mouth and say anything that's not true. I'm not going to say anything that's degrading to my wife. Yo, you make me sick. You so, you know, because if I do that, she's going to get into defensive mode. And then round and round and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows. But because I made the commitment that I only want one woman for my entire life, and she made it up in her mind, I just want Big Daddy. Hey, listen, it's in her phone, y'all. It ain't like, it's in her phone.
But who put it there?
Huh?
Who put it there?
You didn't take it out? She ain't take it out. See, she's like, I'm learning. One day I went in the phone, and she had Bay in there, you know, because she called me Bay. So I went in there real quick. I typed Big Daddy. I ran out, and then I called her. I could hear her answer from like, what is this? He's so goofy. Everybody think I'm goofy. But I'm God's man.
Right.
That's all that matters. What's the bottom line? I'm saying, if you've been with us long enough, you know Lady and I are just ourselves. We're the same people if you see us at Walmart, at Target, at Annabelle's, as you do at church. And the reason God blesses us is because of our genuineness. We are who we are. And what I want you to do, thank you, baby. Well, a girl. Girl. Oh, Jesus, my heart is beating, boy. You wrong for that. But I see you at the house in a little while. I hope you understand in my 5 seconds left, it is the enemy that keeps trying to put a wedge in between the husband and the wife. Because he knows how powerful you can be in this earth if you'll just get together, follow this word, and do what it says. And so what I want you to do is I want you to make it up in your mind. From this moment forward, I'm not going to try to be like anybody. I'm just going to be me. I'm going to be who God has called me to be. Because nobody can be better at you than you being you. Why be a copycat of a great original?
Amen.
Just be you. And while you're being you, man, get back to this word. Get back to faithfulness to God, spending time with him. Get on the prayer line. When we're fasting, fast. When we got to come to church.
Amen.
Y'all understand, you going on vacation. Y'all know I'm not talking about that, those kind of things, you know. You know, the doc sometimes say, hey, I'm going to see my grandbabies. That's not what I'm talking about. Y'all know. I'm talking about all of us at church. You ain't out of town. You just at the house watching Gunsmoke. But I don't know what the new, the hip hop Atlanta. I don't know all that stuff. I don't watch that stuff. Watch this. And I'm not judging it, but you have to be careful what you let on the inside of you. You have to be careful. The Bible says to guard your heart. You know what I'm doing today? I'm just pastoring you. I'm just pastoring. The Bible says to guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. So if I let the right stuff come in, the right stuff will come out. And so when you start this fast tomorrow at 12 o'clock, I want you to say, Lord, from this moment forward, I'm yours. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not, that I'm giving my life totally to you, and there's some things I'm giving up. I want the husband and wives during this fast, if you need to, everybody doesn't need to talk to each other. Have some never agains from now on. Baby, never again will I raise my voice at you, but from now on, I'll speak to you in a calmly manner. Never again will I disrespect you, but from now on. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Have some never agains from now on. And I believe that as we consecrate these next few days, these next 5 days, that God will speak to you about the things that you need to do. If you will do the things that I just taught you over these past few minutes, I promise you, your 2024 will be amazing. You'll see God do amazing things in your life. So let's get back to holiness. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's get back to being faithful. Let's get back to making church a priority. COVID kind of messed a lot of things up, to be honest with you. Some people got off and it's like they never got back on. But I want you to make it up in your mind that, Father, today, right now, I'm getting back on track. Or maybe you are on track, but you just say, Lord, I'm taking it to the next gear. And I'm going to see your goodness in my life and my family's life. Father, I thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. Maybe you're in the room and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're online, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing to ever happen to me, and I know he'll be the best thing to ever happen to you. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord. God is not mad at you. God is not upset with you. You got to let go of the shame of your past or a mistake that you made. Just let it go and know that God is not upset with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. Don't listen to people who just, you know, all they want to do is just fuss. The gospel is good news. Now, I might tell you the truth, but I'm not going to fuss because the gospel is good news. So he's not mad at you. As a matter of fact, he loves you so very much and he's knocking on the door of your heart. Maybe you're a Christian in the room or online. You just need to repent about some things. As Christians, we mess up. We make mistakes. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. And so repentance just puts you at the back of the line. I'm sorry. Repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. I've already quoted Romans 10 and 9. Actually, twice today. So all you got to do is just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. And once you give your life to Christ or rededicate your life or repent, I want you to make it up in your mind. I'm getting back on track. And maybe I fell off in a few areas, but I'm getting back on track. Matter of fact, we don't even normally have prayer call on holidays, but we're going to have it tomorrow. And that's the first thing you ought to do. I'm going to be on the prayer call. I'm going to start my year off right. This is it. This is my year. I've been saying it, but this is my year. Maybe the reason it hasn't been the year I thought it was going to be is because I didn't give God what I needed to give him. But this year, I'm going to give him my everything, and I'm going to see his goodness in my life. I want you to pray this prayer in the room and online because there's people that need to give their lives to Jesus, people that need to rededicate their lives to the Lord. There's Christians that need to repent. Now, I want you to pray this. If you're going to give your life to Jesus for the first time, I want you to fill out that connection card we talked about. If you're going to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want you to fill out that connection card. If you want to join this amazing church, I want you to fill out the connection card. And make sure that you turn it in to us. It's so important that you follow through. And let this be the year that you start following through. I want everyone to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise all over.